I did have a bit where it's like, do a hot take, and I really have a hot take right now.
I got one. I got one in the bag.
What's your hot take?
It's loaded in the chamber. Studio Ghibli does not make as many bangers as you think it does.
Ooh, I have to agree with you. Everyone talks about Spirited Away. Everyone talks about, you know, Totoro.
Yes, exactly. And, they talk about the same six movies, but there's like 25 of them. And
yeah, no one talks about the Barbers already.
Whispers of the Heart.
Hello, Kupo. Welcome to another episode of Kupo Talks, episode 12, titled, I actually don't have a title right now, we're title in progress, Homecoming. Welcome back. It's been a really long time, according to you, our publisher website that used to be anchor.fm. our last episode was January 21st, 2022, and we're back.
Considering this
as a kind of season two, a kind of reboot to the ever so popular Kupo Talks podcast. I am your host, Mog Knight, also known as Ray, and I'm here with my lovely usual co-host in the rotating chair.
Hello, it's me, Summer Kurtz, Andrew, if you will. Anyway.
Oh, I know that guy. Anyways, we are here once more. Just the hangout, I guess.
Well, you got to talk about the impetus of this is of like, I think you made a tweet that referenced the last episode we recorded, which is about Ace Attorney. And I was sitting in my room listening to it, and I was like, man, what a good time. And then I think I hit you up and we're like, we should do this again. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, and now we're here. That was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Hello.
Hey.
I think too, I've been thinking about it too. There's a podcast that came out by the lovely boys of Hollow Live, Hollow Tempest specifically, called National Tempest Radio or NTR. You know, just buds talking. And I'm like, man, I wish I had buds to talk to and then post it in an online content thing. And now here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Something about podcasting and just talking and turning
it
into
content.
Yeah,
I mean, it's again, like you and I are best friends in real life. But, you know, with life and work and family.
And everything.
And everything. It is sometimes
distance between us.
Yes, I live in a different city. It is sometimes difficult to set up a time for us to talk about things, I guess, in a structured format. Because, you know, sometimes in life you have an hour here, maybe you have an hour there, maybe, you know, you're not available or I'm doing something. And,
scheduling of adults that have different jobs and different...
Yeah, in different industries. Yeah, so.
But we also have hobbies and whatever.
Exactly.
I think it's always nice to be a little bit social and, you know, just talking, chilling with the crew, make things a little less lonely. Right.
Yeah. So I think we should start off real quick with a life recap. It's been more or less a year and a half. How have you been doing?
I have been going. I have been living. I am alive. I wake up every day and get to breathe fresh air, and here I am.
Nice.
Been busy, especially like over the summer. I don't really have a lot of time to stream and do like my VTuber streaming obligations or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just use the summer season to like try to get a schedule going and just stream a little bit. And it's over now. I still stream sporadically, very sporadically, when I'm not busy.
And what's that? What's that Twitch URL?
It is twitch.com. That's not right. twitch.tv/mognight11.
Very nice. Very nice.
So follow me there. Whatever. But there's that. I'm starting up a new learning hobby, which is learning HTML and CSS. Nice. Through working on a NeoCities site.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like in the vein of GeoCities.
Yep.
But it's like that old internet stuff where, mm-hmm. you know, going back to the roots where you don't need to worry about SEO yep. or like advertisers or like right. getting money.
Yeah.
You could just literally create a blank page and just write words and yep. let it just be you and exist.
Yeah. And all its and all its garish qualities that is old GeoCities accounts and stuff.
Exactly. You want to make that text blink?
Heck yeah.
You want to make a marquee and have it rotate across the page? Heck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
More power to you. I think with the, you know, the advent of the fake buzzword that is Web3,
mm-hmm.
It's nice to, you know, just go back to a more simpler time.
Right.
Where things didn't have to be about money and ad and views.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, good stuff.
And how about you, kid? How about something that happened recently to you in the 18 months we've been gone?
I think the only thing I really want to mention that is of any specific note is I was able to visit Japan for about 2 weeks in the summer.
Wow. Finally, going...
Yeah.
Going to the I'm trying to make like a weeb joke, but
I think it's something that you and I maybe have discussed before. But as we have gotten older, I have less time for anime and stuff. So this is purely I didn't go to Akihabara. I didn't go to any place that was specifically like weeb culture. Mostly because I was also traveling with family. My partner's family is, she has family that lives there.
Non-weebs.
Yes, non-weebs. And I, not that there's anything wrong with those kinds
there
of hobbies and interests.
There is something wrong with
those people. It's not for me. I went there for more niche purposes than anime. I bought a really nice kitchen knife. And I honestly, I was mostly there to eat. And eat I did. I had quite the universal experience of eating, I think, at almost every major chain restaurant in Japan. I ate at a Royal Host, I ate at Denny's, I ate at a Caesarea, I ate at a chain izakaya, mostly because I was traveling with a big group of people, and those kinds of places are really like the only places that can accommodate a large group of people.
Yeah, I feel like usually like max table seating is like 4-ish.
Yeah, it's either that or some places are strictly like bar seating, right? Like
It's a counter.
I was able to eat at some really cool places. I am not one to complain. I had a great time, and it was, you know, it is just the circumstances of the visit. I do understand the affection of Japanese Denny's now. That French toast is very, very good. I ate a lot of cool stuff. One thing I do want to note specifically as probably the best thing that I did eat out there, it was a little town in Hokkaido, on Hokkaido Island. Tiny town called Furano. And there was this place that I don't know it off the top of my head, because we were brought there by an uncle on my partner's side, and it was a raw beef sashimi, and it was wagyu beef, which I'm usually not an evangelist for expensive cuts of beef. Usually, I've had wagyu before in the States. It's fine.
You see, like on like TikTok or like social media, it's like A5 Wagyu.
It's cool. Like, have it once, get your kicks out of it. I'm not the biggest fan, but the way that it was served here was very simple. It was sliced very, very thin. It had a very simple tare on it, served over rice, and it's like what it's like a minimalist approach to food, right? It is. It is a very few amount of ingredients that are just singing at the highest quality that it could be.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons, I really enjoyed Japanese cuisine and like just studying from it, because throughout the years, Japanese cuisine's always been like one of my favorites.
Yeah, we both do. Yeah.
But it's like kind of like the simplicity of it, or it's just like just letting the ingredients shine.
Yeah.
And just using enough seasoning, like the tare or the special soy sauce or whatever.
Right.
But it's just bringing the natural ingredients out. And it's like, that's a philosophy that I use in my whatever
I do. Right. Yeah. So that dish was one of the few things that I have ever, I think in my life, I've ever just straight after I finished it, just ordered a second bowl. Like, I want another one. Because again, like you're saying, it is fat, it is salt, there is a slight sweetness in the rice that it is relatively common that if the rice is of significant note, they will tell you in the menu, this rice is from a very specific prefecture or a very specific farm or something, and it is known for these kind of qualities. I would almost say how we describe wine here in the States or in the West, I guess. There are tasting notes to rice, I guess. Not that I have the advanced palate to tell you what specific about that rice was, but I can tell you that there was something there.
Yeah, I think it's just it's shows a care and a thought.
Right, right.
Put into a dish.
Yeah. So that there, I had a couple of really interesting things. I had bear. I had sea snail stomach, which I feel very weird about, as in I did not like it very much. I was offered horse. So that was a good time. I enjoyed it. I will most likely be back. But yeah, that was kind of the major kind of thing I've done, I think, in the last 18 months. Besides that, just general kind of touristy stuff and buying a lot of food, buying a lot of gifts. I know I brought you something that you tasted on stream.
Yeah. I'll try and post my VODs on my YouTube channel. Anyways, you got me a cheese calorie mate, which I actually enjoyed.
Oh, you liked it. Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It's the cheese isn't French cheese where it's overly salty or has tangy notes.
Mm-hmm.
The cheese is more like a kind of Asian cheese where it's kind of sweeter.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
Even though it's not chocolate or that other flavor you gave to the other guys.
Maple, I think.
It's a pleasant, savory, sweet thing.
Right.
And I still have the other pack of it.
Okay.
So whenever I'm whenever I need, how many calories is this? Whenever I need 400 kilocals of energy, then it will be ready for me.
Nice.
Also give me this green tea egg thing covered in chocolate. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And this Battleship curry.
Heck yeah.
This is you could catch my reactions in the VOD that maybe it's still up. I don't know.
Heck, that was
VODs.
Yeah. And the curry specifically, the thing that we're talking about here is I went down to Yokotsuka, which is a major naval base in Japan, and they have these very, very cute branded ready to eat curry packs.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were very funny. So I bought one for myself and I gave one to you. I have not eaten mine yet. I'm saving it for an emergency. In case there's another hurricane that comes through the West Coast. That'll be ready for me. But Japan's cool.
You showed me pictures of it and it's super pretty.
Yeah.
I want to go myself one day, but I'm saving up money.
I'll keep nagging you about it.
Heck yeah, dude. We're going to go to an onsen and
it's we're going
to play ping pong in our bathrobes.
Yeah, they're good.
And actually, drink milk.
That milk is very, it's thicker in a way, and it's sweeter, which is kind of...
Yeah, I think, you know, American pasteurization has ruined milk. I was kidding. I did ruin milk, but
as a big fan of
milk, definitely changes it.
As someone who is in the pro milk category, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I could eat that with cereal. Is the thing, like, it is a standalone milk.
Yeah, the onsen milk.
You know, the
is that a challenge?
I don't know. It is. It's like not quite like cream, but it is noticeably thicker, I guess. It's fattier, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, like,
it has like a body to it. As
I can't use that to drink my eat my Cheerios, my honey bunches of oats.
Do they eat cereal in Japan?
It exists, but it's not common to my understanding.
It's not they don't have fruity pebbles.
No, that's very much an American kind of thing. Yeah, so
yeah, I'm not sure.
I am trying to recall. I mean, I ate a lot of breakfast at Denny's. I ate a lot of fish, so there was no one ever offered me a bowl of cereal. I suppose is my thought process here. That's what I did.
Nice.
Big thing besides that, a lot of video games. A lot of movies. You like those, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barbie and Oppenheimer, two good movies.
Yeah. So seeing as we don't have a main thesis for this podcast, we're just kind of go through. We've been playing for the last couple of months.
Yeah, we're coming home to where we started this podcast to talk about games and a bit of a niche look / view of our own opinions.
Yeah.
As two dumb college boys, now grown up.
Yep.
So what have you been playing?
Oh.
That's right. You start now.
Okay. Let me work backwards here. Jedi Survivor came out. I liked it.
Cal Kestis.
Cal Kestis. He can do a backflip, did you know?
Whoa, is it a Jedi backflip?
Yeah. Really good game, really hampered by that first couple of weeks of not great performance.
Yeah, I've heard. It's like patches and like people
playing. Yeah, it was real spotty. The frame pacing was not great, which kind of, for me at least, like let me start. Jedi Survivor was a great game. Fantastic. I got maybe, I want to say 2/3 through it. I played at least 25 to 30 hours, I want to say. I really enjoyed the game. But there came to a certain point where I almost softlocked myself from trying to like get a bunch of collectibles that I had missed. And it had taken me, like, due to, not to get bogged down into the details, but basically I couldn't get an elevator to go back out to a main area. And whenever I relaunched the game, I would kind of be stuck in the same place. And because I was also in a important cutscene, technically, I also could not fast travel out.
You couldn't keep massing jump and like break through boundaries and walls.
Yeah. There's also some issues that game has specifically in one level. With prompt detection. Like, when you get close to something, you should be given a prompt to do a force power, right? To help you, like, get across an obstacle. Yeah, there was a specific... So, there was a specific section, and for, like, 20 minutes, I could not get the prompt to show up. And I could not progress in the level. And that really killed the momentum that I had. And I kind of stopped playing it. I tried to pick it up maybe like 2 weeks ago, and I just kind of lost steam on it. The agency's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change my opinion that it's a great game. It was just purely a victim of its circumstances, I guess.
Yeah, it's like sometimes when you get like a big bug, and it's like, Is it worth my time?
Yeah. On a flip note, what was worth my time was the Case of the Golden Idol. Big game of mine. Ooh. Of last year, I believe.
Good segue.
Released a DLC pack. Very short, but very, very... It's so good. Listeners who are not familiar, Case of the Golden Idol is a small indie game that is basically a kind of an old school adventure, yeah.
Point and click adventure.
Investigative game, essentially. I just checked right now that the next DLC came out yesterday, so I might play that.
I saw that in my Steam marquee thing.
I'm just gonna
Vampire.
I'm gonna buy that after this podcast.
Yeah, you wrote about it in our yearly Koopa Awards.
Yeah.
I think it's like pretty near towards your game of the year, I think.
Those games along with the vein of like a lot of like Lucas Pope games, specifically like the Obra Dinn really sticks into my head of like, that is my niche. I like to be a detective. I like to put pieces together. The DLC is it more of the same? Yes. And I'm here for it. Again, Case of the Golden Idol by, I believe, Color Gray Games. Play it, pick it up. It's a fantastic thing. Really, really liked it.
Yeah, it's on sale right now during the time of this recording.
That's get it. It's a good game.
Only the DLC is on sale. Sorry.
I'm going to buy it.
No, but it's good. It's like $20, I think.
Yeah, it is for me. If you're into those kind of games, it is worth every penny. Granted, some of those, maybe there's one or two cases that require some leap in logic, but I have played much more obtuse games, and this is one of the good ones. This is one of the great ones. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it if like you played something like Obra Dinn. If you haven't played Obra Dinn either, you should also play that. Obra Dinn's a good game.
If you like figuring things out.
Besides that, another game, to transition back to another game I did not beat, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Ooh, I know that you also played it as well.
I played it on stream. I think it was like 3-ish hours for me to get out of the main island. But I have also not beat it. And I have thoughts about this game too.
I think between us and our major friend group, I think I probably played the most of it. I think I put in at least 40 to 45 hours.
Like you mentioned the beating like the dungeons and stuff.
Yes, I beat all four dungeons. And to my non-spoiler understanding of the plot, I'm like 3 or 4 main story quests from ending it. I don't know. Okay, I want to start with your thoughts as someone who only played the first 3 hours. What did you think?
It is more of the same. Mm-hmm. And then the question at the very end is, do I want to play more of this, and do I need to play more of this, you know?
Yeah.
Like they added the new elements already on top of like, you know, the really good foundation. But I don't know. It's like a kind of like thing of like you kind of like know where everything's going and you know where mm-hmm. How the systems work and you know you understand what they want you to do. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing, at least for me, as a person who wants to do a lot of things but not a lot of time. Mm-hmm. It's like, is it worth it for me to have this, or it's not worth it, but like, do I need to have this experience?
Yeah, is the time commitment worth the effort, right?
Or I could like move on to like another thing that I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong, I will go back to it, but there's like, you know, a lot of games coming out right now,
right?
And like, to me, at least where I'm at, Tears of the Kingdom doesn't offer anything substantially new.
Right.
It's just more of a really good thing.
Yeah.
Not to say Tears of the Kingdom is bad, but it's just more of a thing I've already experienced and done.
Yeah. I feel roughly the same. I recall when I was playing Breath of the Wild, that you told that I had also stopped somewhere before the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I believe it was you that kind of persuaded me, like, you're so close to finishing it. Just finish it. And I think I finished it in like a day. Like, after putting, like, I think I put, like, some 80-odd hours into it. Like, I did a considerable amount of one could reasonably do in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, so Tears of the Kingdom, that point, you should go. At that point, you should go through it.
Yeah. Tears of the Kingdom, like you said, feels like more of the same with a lot of really cool additions that are not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I get the cool building stuff. I don't really care for it. Why do I gotta bring a car? Why do I gotta build a car? If I have a horse, and the horse is, I can call the horse to me. So a lot of it is like, it's not for me. I understand I'm in the minority of this. But I did enjoy the beasts in Breath of the Wild a lot. I liked those dungeons. I did not enjoy the dungeons in Tears of the Kingdom as much. They're fine. They're good. Like, they're fine. But, like, they didn't strike me as anything particularly special. I think Breath of the Wild's dungeons, for what they were, used a bit more of like the switch's purpose, I guess. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. the stuff where like you're flipping it around and moving it, like with the, like messing with the gyroscope, right?
Yeah. It's like the Sheikah Slate is supposed to be like a, not a one-to-one thing of the switch, but
right,
you know, that was
right.
A gimmick.
I thought that was a bit more interesting than what Tears of the Kingdom was. And I don't really care to finish it. Like, there was, like, I really like the Tarrytown quest line in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah,
and
you have to build a town and then find things and all that stuff,
right? And there hasn't been, at least for me, any particularly memorable side quest that I've done. Maybe I haven't looked at like a FAQ or anything, or like a list of like, oh, here are all the side quests that you can do. I don't particularly care to do that. But like, I just, this feels less memorable, I guess, because it feels like it's more of the same.
Yeah.
Not saying that, you know, an iteration cannot eclipse its foundation. Like, I think for what it's worth, Majora's Mask does a good way of separating itself from Ocarina of Time.
Yeah,
By the definition of its narrative and how it chooses to tell it, how it chooses to break the sequence of a very linear, like, adventure game that is Ocarina of Time, and, you know, it breaks it up via the 3-day timeline. Where this it is Breath of the Wild with a different coat of paint and like another layer to it. Right, there's the Sky Islands and there's the deep. It's good. It's just like you said, I don't know. The time commitment has kind of shifted in the other way of, like, there's more interesting things for me to do besides play in the sandbox for another 40 hours.
Yeah, I think, like, as you grow older, your time's more precious.
Yeah.
Not saying your time was precious, less precious in the past.
I mean, we were in college. Like, I had no responsibilities.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I kind of have like a pick and choose now.
Yeah, exactly.
I think. But yeah, it's like going off of what you're saying, the way Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask are feel like two different experiences, even though they're like the same engine.
They are like 95% most of the same game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the issue with Tears of the Kingdom is that, you know, a lot of people were predicting this as well. Or it's like, it's just building off that overworld map. It's like, now you got just more things to do. And it's like, oh, okay. And it's like, now you could build a robot. It's like, I don't want to build a robot, but okay.
Yeah. Building a robot doesn't interest me. But you know what other robot interests me? Armored Core 6.
New hotness that came out recently.
I like building that robot. I had played Armored Core 4 a while ago. And it didn't stick to me. It's a very different direction. Obviously, Armored Core 6 has way more money than 4 did. And I think what appealed to me from the get-go is Armored Core, similar in its initialism, has so much more in common to Ace Combat.
This is just
Ace Combat with robots, and that's all I needed to see. And like it is a similar narrative structure. It presents its cutscenes very similarly in just these very just these are images that do not move and people are just talking over them, and I'm like, great.
Yeah, it's like fantastic. Like radio comms.
Yes,
here's the objective.
I don't need cutscenes if I just need very serious sounding people talking over a radio. That's all I need. I could never ask for more. Anyway, Ace Combat 6, very good game. Fires of Liberation, sleeper hit. Wish it wasn't stuck on the 360. That's another podcast. But Armored Core 6, I'm finishing up the first chapter. I am getting my butt handed to me by that chapter one boss. I'm being forced to learn the systems. And I'm having a great time. That is a slick game. That is a I love naming things, I think is a big thing in my head. I like whenever a game gives me opportunity to name a ship, to name a robot, to name a squad. Big fan of this.
Naming things, a lot of power.
Uh-huh.
Really feels like it's your own.
So like my current robot, his name is Driver Indigo. Very, very, very like him a lot. Good robot. But yeah, I think, did you also play a bit of Armored Core 6 at all?
I do not own Armored Core 6. Because I have spent my money elsewhere.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to be smart with my financial decisions. But I will say one thing. Uh-huh. By watching, I will get it eventually.
Yeah.
But like by watching everything and, people experience what I've heard, I think I could beat that first boss first try. It looks all easy, dude. I don't get what people are talking about.
It's not that bad. Like I heard the same thing because I think I picked it up a couple days after launch, and it's like, oh man, that tutorial boss is like, once you understand, it's similar. And oh god, I don't want to sound like a lot of people online, but it's a similar concept of a lot of From Software bosses. I don't want to specifically say Dark Souls, but From Software design, always the initial step is understand the rules of engagement. Understand the rules that this enemy fights under. And then you tailor your tactics to that. And I want to say why a lot of people are washing out of this game is that you're not respecting the boss. You got to respect the enemy if you're going to fight it. You can't fight against its strengths, so you're not going to win. As one artist, Plague of Gripes would say, is you just can't face fuck things and expect to win. You have to respect them.
It's like interesting watching people learn in a way.
Yeah, you have to be open to learning.
It's like, we are gaming veterans.
Yeah.
And we have played From Software games, and like we just kind of, understand when a game has good boss design, that you have to like learn from it first and like be patient and all that stuff.
The
and like Some people run in. It's like you like launch enemy, your boss launches rockets that go up into the air and you cannot see them in your camera. And it's like, okay, I know in a few seconds, just the dash. And then I will avoid missile.
Right. Right. No, like I never went to anticipate a first attempt clear. The first attempt is watching. What works? What doesn't work? Do missiles work? No. Does gun work? Eh. Does sword work? Yes, but only under these circumstances. And you just learn. You pick up. You pick it up. You learn how the boss operates, and you play around it. But yeah, no, it's good. I
beat it first try.
I bet you can. I'll see it on stream.
Right, someone buy me Armored Core, please. All right. Give me $60. Donate.
But yeah, no, it's a good time. I did not expect it to scratch the Ace Combat itch, but it is, and it's great. But yeah, no, Armored Core, great game.
Armored Core, good combat and fun good fast robot. Times.
Yeah, what you been playing?
What I have been playing. Speaking of robots, have you ever heard of a game called Bomb Rush Cyberpunk?
I have. I'm familiar.
Kind of like a spiritual successor to one Jet Set Radio and Jet Set Radio feature.
Good games.
And it is very acclaimed. A lot of people on the internet love it.
Yes.
But for me, don't throw rocks at me, but I think it's okay. It is a well-built game. It's got style oozing out of its pores. But much like me trying to play Jet Set Radio, it just doesn't feel that good to me in a way. Like it got style and got everything else. But gameplay wise is very boring to me.
I don't think you're wrong in feeling that way. I played Jet Set Radio. I played on the Dreamcast. Like very, very core fun memories of like when I was able to go to a cousin's house. They were the ones I knew that had a Dreamcast because Lord forbid anyone else had a Dreamcast at the time.
I didn't have a Dreamcast.
Yeah. And he had Jet Set Radio. And when I think about Jet Set Radio, the first thing I think about is the music. Like the music is forever embedded in my head. Do I think about the gameplay of Jet Set Radio? No, I don't. I think about the music. I think about the style. I think about saturated graphics. I think about thick outlines. But I don't really think about the gameplay. And I want to say that, look, there are some diehards out there that like the game. And that's great. Good for them. Is it limited? I want to say it is. It is carried by its style, and it is very what is that game? 2001 Dreamcast, right? So like 1998,
it's like,
maybe.
It's like basically 2000s.
It like oozes 90s. Y2K aesthetic.
Yeah.
And that's why it's been this like big thing in a lot of people's heads.
People love it. I also think about the I think it was Game Informer that put a review saying that it was mid and then people were just attacking that dude. The Game Informer, or is it I think it's IGN.
Like I'm never a big fan of it. It's really floaty jump, right?
Yeah, it's really floaty. The point is that you use it to aim rather than just like, because you have to like jump and then air dash is what the game wants you to do sometimes.
Yeah,
Game Informer review. Anyways, it's, you know, when as a fan of the Tony Hawk series and like other games, it's like it just feels really floaty. this game's this all about like adventuring and trying to find out the right route so then you get to increase your combo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the combos and like, you know, the grinds and stuff are like kind of like autofill, in which like in a Tony Hawk system, right? Mm-hmm. You grind and then you have to maintain balance.
Right.
And when you're at a high level, it becomes arbitrary, but at like a mid to low level, you kind of have to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And like to do different tricks, you got to do different inputs. Well, like when you grind in Cyberpunk, you just kind of mash a button and then you get like tilt to get an extra bonus on like rail kinks, like where the rail turns. And like Tony Hawk, you have reverts and manuals that allow you to continue combos through grinds and like throughout long distances.
Yeah.
And then here you have manuals that, you know, just auto complete, meaning you just kind of press the button and then you go forever.
Yeah.
And you also have slides, which are like momentum based, and then you just like dash forward. Mm-hmm. But it kind of looks silly. Because like you have like 1 foot forward and then 1 foot tucked in, and then he's just sliding in a straight line.
Yeah.
Like compared to like the revert of where like in Tony Hawk, like the board actually does like a 180 and then you could continue on to like another half pipe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or like it doesn't like flow visually as well as I think it wants to.
Mm-hmm.
But it got style. It got people funkily dancing. I got that Y2K aesthetic. But it's just, I was talking to another friend. It's like, it's not for me, man. I'm not punk enough. The world is too open. There's people leaning on the rails. And I'm like, I don't want to ruin your day, man. But I need to make this grind.
Yeah.
It's kind of also like in the way of like parkouring. But you know how like Mirror's Edge 1 and 2 just feels good whenever you parkour?
Mm-hmm.
And then like it's Cyberpunk, it doesn't scratch that same itch of like exploring and creating routes, just having it feel good.
Yeah.
It's all just magnets and that's Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. Please don't throw rocks at me. It's not for me.
It was aiming to like succeed from Jet Set Radio, and I think they accomplished that, because that's
yeah, if you're a Jet Set Radio fan, this is your game.
That's how Jet Set Radio also plays. Yeah, and so they did it, like they did what they wanted to do, and like that's what they wanted to do, then that's they did it. Good job.
Yeah, and it's like if you're like me and you're not the biggest bomber rusher cyberfunker, you know, probably pick up the new Tony Hawk game or maybe play Skate, I guess.
I don't know. The soundtrack, though, is bumping.
It is bumping, though. I bought the soundtrack and it's bumping.
It's good.
And that is my takeaway from this game.
The exact same takeaway of Jet Set Radio.
I love the music.
Yep.
You know that song, Understand the concept of love.
Yeah.
That's forever embedded in my brain. More so than I have never played Jet Set Radio Future.
Yeah.
Oh, now, going back into the past, you know, they made Saints Row, but they made it again.
I'm familiar with Saints Row, yes.
They made a new Saints Row called Saints Row, not to be confused with the first Saints Row.
So and is they this, released it. Is this a Saints Row? A Saints Row as in Saints Row was in Saints Row 1 and Saints Row 2? Or is this the Saints Row in the same way that is Saints Row 3 is a Saints Row?
Saints Row is hot off the heels of something like Saints Row 4 and Get Out of Hell. I believe that's the thing. Which I never played. I never played Get Out of Hell. Mm-hmm. I never kind of fully played Saints Row 4 either.
Mm-hmm.
But I was interested in this game because, so it's been an Epic Games exclusive on PC at least for like a year when it came out. It's released in 2022. Then it recently came onto Steam for $20.
Ooh.
And I'm like, you know, I haven't played a Saints Row game in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I never finished 4, I never touched 3, and I never played God Out of Hell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm also at this point where it's like, I haven't played a shooty game in a while. And it's like, I kind of just want to play a shooty game.
Yeah.
A non-competitive shooty game. And then I played it. I downloaded it. I played it. And it feels good to play. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
The story sucks. The story blows.
Oh, man.
As a fan of, you know, as a fan of Saints Row 1 and 2, I feel like anytime Volition released a Saints Row game, it was like kind of like a product of its time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Like when Saints Row 4 released, it was hot off the heels of Saints Row 3. Mm-hmm. But Saints Row 3 was a success where it's kind of like, it just felt really good to play and it's like really campy. And like it just became like that much campy, like 100% more over. And then, mm-hmm. you know, people seem to like it. But like when Saints Row 1 and 2 came out, I believe it's like you had games like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas and 4, GTA 4, as well as a little bit of like the true crime games that came that are like the open world-ish deal. And like the story narratively for that, it was more like a series crime drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like something you see in... I forgot like what the crime dramas were in the 2000s.
The Sopranos?
No, that's like after. That's like, you know, street crime, like gangsters and all that the stuff. The Wire? Yeah, it's like The Wire. I'm pretty sure there's like more. Kind of like Prison Break, I guess, for sure, turn on my mind. But it's like that that crime drama, especially in like Saints Row 1, where it's like stuff happens and then you're recruited into this gang. And then you got to like prove yourself to your leader and all that stuff. And then spoilers for the end of Saints Row 1, you get betrayed in like all fronts. So then you have to start over. And that's where Saints Row 2 comes in, where you have to do a prison break.
Right.
But like narratively, you know, at the time it was like intriguing. It was interesting. It wasn't like overly campy. And I think that's what like really hooked me. Plus it felt good to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say something as you're going to reboot Saints Row 1, and it's about these 4 college kids trying to get out of college debt.
Ooh.
And then you're also a cop, in a way. You're not really a cop, you're just a mercenary who's basically a cop.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're working for them just to get money, and then stuff happens, and now you're trying to run a crime empire. And it's like so lame, dude. So boring. It's not like, it doesn't like hook me at all. And I think that's why a lot of people have a like umbrage against it. Yeah, when you say you're gonna reboot the Saints Row series, what you're saying is we're gonna eliminate Saints Row 1 and basically 2 and what it was. Which is like, you know, this bad wording. But I will tell you that it is really fun to play. It feels really good. The driving handling, you know, at the beginning of open world games is not like the best, but when we upgrade it, it starts to feel better. The gunplay is just really easy. it's just like the thing of like you just get hordes acting upon you and then you just press buttons.
Yep, just point and shoot, right?
Also, when like when you play PC games that are obviously controller, sometimes when you do hold down to aim, it actually just auto aims for you, meaning it locks onto the head.
Oh, I see.
It's just a balance of right clicking and then shooting heads, and then right clicking some more, then shooting heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny. It's kind of like you're breaking the game, but you know this game isn't meant to be hard.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like, I don't know. Sometimes games don't need to have bad, the extreme greatest, you know, narrative thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it still feels good to play, I'll tell you that much. Now Volition is dead.
Now they're dead. Wow. Yeah, that was
rest in peace. 30 years of
it, this will date the gaming podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, shouts out to them for sticking out so long. You know, you're as a game development studio and as like creators of things, you know, you're always not gonna get what fans completely want.
Right.
But Volition Studios has been just one of those studios that's been, you know, just out there and just like really trying.
Yeah.
You know, they make good quality games. It's like, say what you will about the narrative about this game, it does feel good. Yeah. I haven't come across like big bugs on the PC version.
That's good. Yeah.
It's just gaming. That's out to them.
Rip in peace, Volition. Red Faction Guerrilla was a great game.
Well, they made good games, dude. Yeah. You know, hopefully everyone lands on their feet. Heck, Embracer, or you know, just closing down things and destroying people's lives,
yeah,
livelihoods. I think you just forget that the people developing games are actually people.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know, just. If a game's not your thing, you don't have to come out swinging out of the gate against them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like I will play through a lot of Saints Row. Mm-hmm. It's just a fun balance of like campy, you know, just mindless fun.
It's like, yeah, yeah, there's definitely a place in the game world for those kind of like, you don't have to try that hard. It's just kind of let it roll, point and click, feels good, get good feedback.
Good feedback, you're just doing a thing, you're just along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Saints Row, that's Saints Row update.
Mm-hmm.
What's that happening here?
Yeah, you had a good segue, but I didn't take it because you kept talking. But speaking of punching it right out of the gate, what other gate have you played? Does that work?
Sure, we'll take that. How about Baldur's
Gate? Oh, I know that guy. Yeah.
Let's see. At the moment, I have beaten Act 1. I am 20 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've played all there is to this game, to be honest.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like a common through thread.
Uh-huh.
Like, Baldur's Gate 3 is a fantastic game.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. A lot of people on the internet are enjoying it, and I have thoroughly enjoyed my 20 hours of playing.
Mm-hmm.
But then becomes the question, after you reach a checkpoint, do I need to continue? Like, you kind of, at least for me, like, you, if you played and read stories and, like, you know, all that stuff long enough,
uh-huh.
you, it's all in your head where you think the ending might go, mm-hmm. and the ending will go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the narrative beginning for this is that you have an alien stuck in your head, a parasite, mm-hmm. and you need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So, by following all those conclusions, at the very end of the game, you will get the alien out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it'll, you know, be friends with you and you'll become an all-powerful monster.
Yeah.
But in between that, you know, there's A, B, and C. As like, I passed the A part.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I like these characters enough? Do I like this gameplay enough? Does the story intrigue me into playing more of it? And to all those three, I say no.
Yes, damn.
I mean, well, Karlik, I like you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I also don't really like fantasy all that much, I guess.
I see.
You know, the clerics, the warlords, the whatever. Like, it's basically, this is Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
Like, right? and it's like warlocks and all that stuff. And it's like, I don't know. It's not me. It's not me, dude. It's not me.
Well, you stuck to it longer than I did. I think I only played less than 2 hours because I got a refund.
yeah, I think
technically my partner played it more than I did because she likes character creators. And so she was just spending a lot of time making the characters.
Yeah, what did you make? I made a hot dinosaur.
I made a half-elf druid,
I believe. I'm one of those guys.
I didn't.
They're cool.
that's what my partner wanted to do. She's like, this guy looks cool. I'm like, yeah, sure, go for it. And then the druid class made sense with the typing. So, I made it out of the tutorial, and then I took that left turn from the beach or the river, and then I died, and I was like, yep, I'm good. I think it's really interesting. It's just I don't have the background with a lot of these kinds of games.
Yeah, it's like you and me both aren't really big tabletop players anyways.
Yeah.
And even so, like when he did do tabletop, it's not very like a D&D system.
No, it was very loose.
It's either loose or like you just played by a different like rule set.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good things about Baldur's Gate, and it's really cool seeing the amount of attention, you know, this game is getting.
Yeah.
Especially since the studio, Larian Studios, have been working on it really long.
Yeah.
They made, you know, other games like this, like Divinity, and like I think they did Baldur's Gate 2. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really cool to seeing people get interested into this style of game. Like, honestly, this style of game often feels like it's kind of niche.
Yeah.
And kind of like inaccessible in a way. Mm-hmm. Like it like see screenshots of the UI.
Yeah.
But people were able to overcome that barrier and then find their new boyfriends and girlfriends. I'm not a big fan of elf, vampire man, Asterion, or anyone. Gale, I think, is goofy and silly.
Mm-hmm. Is he the hungry guy?
Yeah, he's like,
always hungry.
Yeah, he's like, oh, feed me, Traveler. That's not his name. It's like, or else I'll die. You find out what his deal is.
He's so hungry.
He needs to eat your boots, dude. They're magic.
Why?
You're not gonna feed him your magic boots?
No, my boots. Can eat my Tim's, damn.
Exactly. Rude. That's right. Get him out of there real quick. But anyway. It is really cool seeing the popularity it's getting. But
I mean, it's always good. I think
I'm over it. I'm gonna uninstall it right now and get my 150 gigs back.
Damn. Yeah, that was a big game.
It is a big game. Wonka wonka. But now, going into the best fantasy setting that I've played so far, which is high school and dinosaur people.
Uh-huh.
And a giant comet that may or may not kill you.
Ooh.
And destroy everything. Everything on the planet.
Ooh.
That is this anticipated game that I found out like 2 years ago in the PlayStation State of Play or whatever they call it, called Goodbye Volcano High.
Uh-huh.
By KOOP.
Mm-hmm.
Good studio with good working ethics, but mm-hmm. not on that. I really enjoyed my time with Goodbye Volcano High.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just finished it like 3 hours ago.
Oh, nice.
So everything's super fresh in my head. But there's a lot of things that I do like want to process.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting story, and like it's well animated. I think it moves really well. it does a lot of good things, like narratively, but like the whole crux of it is that you are a non-binary teen called named Fang, and then you're living out your high school year. This is your final year in, you know, high school, redundant. And then a giant, you find out that a giant asteroid is a coming. Much like in 2013, everyone thought the world's gonna end.
I remember, I was there.
And now it's like a more present threat. I think the cool thing about this one too, it's like it's a more modernized story, because there's like text messages, there's group chats. There's, it's like a fun social media bit that you can see in the menu. But it's a really interesting story, and it just kind of like reminds you of like friend support groups and what it's like to be scared of the future, because you know, like senior life is college applications, is deciding what you want to do, and all that stuff, and like the binds of friendship and yada yada yada.
Nice, cool. How does it work? Is it like a visual novel or?
Yeah, so it's like a narrative game, kind of like a visual novel. I think it does a lot of like little things really interesting. That some choices, let's say you need to make a choice, and then you have to pick between three, and there's like a small little timer, so it makes you act fast.
Yeah.
But like other choices are kind of like, they need extra confirmation, right? So it's like you press a direction, and then like you say you want to pick that topic, and then for me, I'm playing on a keyboard, you have to press right shift and left shift to make sure you really gotta, you want, you really want to make this decision. This is one neat thing where it's like sometimes the speech bubble for the thing is really like shaky, meaning like you're a little bit hesitant.
Yeah.
So you push in, and then you push out, let's say reset, you know, your choice. And then it kind of locks you out of that choice of like, it makes you like double think, and it's like, okay, well, I can't pick that choice anymore because I backed out. I got to pick the other one.
Oh, interesting.
It's like a lot of like game wise, like narratively, it does really interesting. There's also a rhythm game attached to it. And as far as rhythm game goes, it's not, it's, so there's not a real fail state really, but it is difficult.
Okay.
Because for me, you have to press the arrow keys and then time the WASD keys. And sometimes you need to press Q and E at the same time.
That so it's like, sounds it's a, pretty it's like a
Yeah, so it's like a, it's kind of like when you're playing guitar, you need to manage both the strumming and also the chords. So it's like coordination.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I think they want to get across.
Do you know how fun. The narrative is structured? Is it like a VN where it's like a spokes of a wheel where you kind of go down individual paths, or is it like a web where you're kind of bouncing between possible endings until you kind of get to the end of the web, and then you get an ending? Do you know if there's multiple endings in this game, or?
Yeah, so I've only played the one, but well, from what it seems, there's always going to be the same ending of how it goes. But the way you talk to people and the way you answer, you know, different prompts and all that stuff, it allows you to learn more about a certain character.
Okay.
So, like, for this instance, there's this girl named Naomi, and then I just really wanted to learn more about her, so I picked, like, a lot of the options that has to deal with her and, like, try to be nice to her. Because you can be, like, a little bit of a jerk. The cool thing about this, too, is that if you press, like, the menu button, you see how close you are with people, like, in terms of, like, an orbit. Like, you're in the center, and then, like, all your friends are, like, in a three-ringed orbit, and you could be the outside-most one or, like, the inside-most one, and then that's how you know, like, you're getting the extra story time bits with them.
I see.
Yeah. In a way, it's still very linear, but the multiple playthroughs just encourage you just to like learn more about each character. And they're all pretty interesting in their own right. Because you got like this guy named Reed, who's kind of like a drifter, and he's also your DM in the fake D&D thing. He likes writing, creative writing, and you know, just wants to design campaigns and everything.
Yeah.
And then you have like this other person. What's his name? But like this other person wants to be a cook, and like it's all about culinary school. And then you get to learn about like anxieties and fears and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like despite being dinosaurs and anthropomorphic people, you know, this they do feel realistic, and they're really interesting for all of them to still learn about their deal and all that stuff.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to playing it a bit more. I'm probably gonna write about it once I have my thoughts. But it's if you like narrative games, if you like you know, just good stories and like experiencing life through the lens of these teens who are probably about to die, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they're making a big deal out of it because of social media.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's heartfelt.
Sounds really neat. Yeah, I haven't played a visual novel in a while. Kind of do want to get back into it.
I definitely recommend this one. It's a it's pretty pricey in terms of a visual novel, but everything is voice acted, everything's well animated and directed.
Nice.
I did have a friend saying they look kind of weird in a picture, but I will tell you, in motion, it is very good.
Okay.
But it's really neat. I really like the music. It's kind of like this indie, not shoegazy, but like this indie rock thing.
Lo-fi thingy, kind of. Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, they look anthropomorphic. It's a specific design style. They look fine.
I think you know, I think this kind of like story and game will like impact people in different ways. But for me, it's just, it's really interesting just to learn more perspectives and like seeing how people write certain characters and how they flow and everything like that. As a person who likes writing stories, it's a good one for at least me to study from and find out why it's good. I had more games, but that's like the four main ones on the top of my head.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
also
yeah.
kind of like an impromptu podcast.
Yes. So.
That's our. That's our 18th month gaming update, I guess.
Nice. Do you wanna wrap it up or?
I think that's running off the hour mark. So to wrap it up, we did have one more thing about like what we're watching. We have to say real quick.
I started the One Piece Netflix show.
Oh, that's a good.
My partner really likes it. She has I think it's fine. I think it's
good.
There
you go.
As someone.
So you hate it.
Only real exposure was the 4Kids dub. I think it's fine. I'm not coming as a One Piece fan.
So you hate it.
It's good. I like the guy that plays Luffy. He's kind of awkward, and it's what Luffy is in my head. And nice. The guy that plays Zoro is very, very nice to look at.
That's good to hear.
That's all I'll say about that.
We expect a full report once you finish the entirety of One Piece Netflix.
Sure. And the other thing I'm watching, which we probably can go at length to next time, a little teaser here, is me and my partner have been going through the entirety of Studio Ghibli's catalog. As it exists on HBO Max.
I'm sorry. Nope. It's HBO or it's no, Max,
I know what I said. I know what I said.
No, it is Max.
I know what I said. But bleep me out then. we've been rating them together. I think we've watched 15, and I think we have 10 more to go, or 11 more to go.
Yeah, that's a lot of movies.
Which can lead to a hot take that I'll save for the end of this, but that is most taking up the majority of my watch time.
All right, I think next time we could do Ghibli tier list.
Sure, if it's done by then.
Okay. For me, I've been watching a lot of media other than YouTube videos. But I've been trying to watch the Sound Euphonia movie because the third season is gonna come out next year. Yeah, next year. And it takes me back as a bandy that wants to do better. Plus, as a person who dabbles in the profession of music and teaching, takes me back.
Yeah,
and, there's an anime coming out, so I've been rereading the manga, Beren. I highly, extremely recommend this series because it's not every day you get a series about what happens after the adventurers finish adventuring.
I do. What happens?
Yeah, what happens when you defeat the Dark Lord? What is your life after?
I don't know. Chill, relax.
Well, that you gotta read Frieren.
All right.
I think nine. It's like eight volumes that are published, nine volumes that are published, legally English translated. So I highly recommend doing that.
Yeah.
And I think that'll wrap it up for this podcast.
Nice.
Anything you looking forward to in the upcoming weeks, months, whatever?
Starfield.
Oh.
Which looks
Do you think Todd Howard will do it again?
I've looked at footage, and I feel concerned.
Oh, he's going to do it again?
Look.
I'm going to look forward to your take on it, because I have my own takes on it.
I've not played the game, so this is going to be... I can completely change my tune, and I'm perfectly okay with that. It doesn't look great. Granted, I said the same thing about Fallout 4, and I played like 300 hours of it. So it looking mid means nothing about how much time I'm willing to commit.
Exactly.
I am expecting this game to be okay, and I will play a lot of it.
Have you seen that picture where it's like a tray of food where it's like, to say it in other words, awful narrative, awful sound, awful whatever.
Yep.
Do you think that'll be...
I would be ecstatic if it for me, they're like home run. Great. I hope it is. But from what I'm seeing of early previews, I am not filled with hope. But it will not stop me from purchasing it, and at least committing to one full playthrough is my guarantee to you, the viewer.
Nice. My thing is that I will play it on Xbox Game Pass.
Nice, as you should.
And we'll see. We'll reconvene.
Yeah, we'll reconvene.
I'll ask him more about your Starfield experience.
Sure. Yeah.
See, as for me, the two episodes of Adventure Time, Fiona and Cake are out.
Wow.
After we wrap up here.
Nice.
And I am very excited to see my boy Finn again.
Hey.
Excited to find out what's happening in the real world of the actual people of Fiona and Cake and not the gender and fantasy that is Ice King.
I will ask questions. You off podcast. I have questions.
Alrighty. Great. And that will be the end of our episode today.
Hey,
thank you for making it all the way to the end and listening to our ramblings.
Yeah.
We're back for season two.
I have no
idea when the next one's going to come out. Maybe we'll do this as a monthly thing.
No, we'll see. As time, as life happens, we'll make room for it, I'm sure.
But in any case, I did have a bit where it's like, do a hot take, and I really have a hot take right now.
I got one in the bag.
What's your hot take?
It's loaded in the chamber. Studio Ghibli does not make as many bangers as you think it does.
Ooh, I have to agree with you.
It's maybe...
Talks about Spirited Away. Everyone talks about, Totoro and...
Yes, exactly. They talk about the same six movies, but there's like 25 of them.
Yeah, no one talks about the Borrowers already.
Who talks about Whispers of the Heart? Exactly. Anyway, we can go more into this next episode if you're curious about my thoughts and as I continue this experience.
Leave your hot take about Ghibli movies.
Yeah,
which one is absolute garbage? Which one?
I know which one is absolute garbage.
Me too. All right, that's the end of this episode.
Thank you.
You can follow me on Twitter at @mognite.
It's not called Twitter.
Follow me on Twitch. If you could call it HBO Max, I could call it Twitter.
That's fair.
At @mognite, you can find all my other stuff there. Where could people find you, sir?
Twitter's probably the best place, I guess.
At SummerKurtz.
X.com. Yes. It's all slow. Look, I was 17 when I made this handle and I've stuck to it. Twitter's probably the best way to follow me if you are inclined to. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's good to be back.
Good to be back. Good to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed our takes and want to see more stuff. Comment, subscribe, find a way to email me, I guess. DM me, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
See ya, Kubo. Bye.